radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Williams, the lob. Williams, the catch. The turnaround counts. If it goes, it does not. And the Rockets have won the game. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. 119-116 in this matchup between number one versus number two in the West.
That was a hell of a win by the Rockets, who have the second best record in the Western Conference by just half a game after beating numero uno 119-116 last night. Fred VanVleet, a guy who some wanted benched earlier this year, has been playing out of his mind on the score sheet at the very least. He had 38 points in this one, 5 of 9 from outside, including with the shot clock winding down, maybe the best shot of the year for the Rockets to this point?
Yeah, I would say so. He's been incredible for the Rockets this year. I cannot believe how good he's been. It's a totally different level of just basketball I even thought he was like capable of. I don't think we've ever seen him play to this level, honestly, this consistently at any point in his career. He's just playing lights out. He's the reason why they are, you know, right now the number two seed in the West.
Let's play Fred VanVleet's 3-point shot, because also I want to give some flowers to the Space City Home Network broadcast team, which was finally getting some flowers from the national team. Nothing against Bill Worrell, who I felt always focused too much on bad calls made by referees and never moved on. I felt like Matt Buller did the same thing. But Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins, plus our gal, Vanessa, are a fantastic trio. And I thought this call was stupendous of an insane shot by Fred VanVleet, who truly was steps in from the midcourt logo.
Green on Williams to VanVleet from the parking lot.
Oh! He points to the heavens.
Unbelievable.
It was an incredible
shot. He's so good. I love Craig. Producing for him when he was doing radio only was incredible. He's a fantastic person, which makes it even better. He's one of my favorite people I've ever worked with in this industry. He's so good. I'm so glad also they didn't hire Doug Gottlieb and they hired Ryan Hollins. Thank God.
Wait, that was a possibility?
He was the other. He was like one of the final three candidates. It was Ryan Hollins, Doug Gottlieb, and I can't remember who the third person was. Yeah, that was their final three.
People think I'm negative.
Yeah. You imagine Gottlieb on that call?
That's just dragging the energy down all broadcast long.
Yeah.
Would he still be splitting time with college basketball, being a college basketball head coach?
Don't think he would have been able to pull that off. Because his radio show is during the day. And
yeah, you can
night.
Do pod. So, yeah.
Yeah, don't think you could do like
pod
that.
Mic on the road. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're excellent. I agree. It's nice to see them get their flowers now that people are hearing them on League Pass because they're fantastic. But the Rockets, they're just playing really, really good team basketball. Even though Jalen Green sucks, they're finding a way to win.
He's shooting less.
A lot less.
I'm okay with that. They're winning games. He's figuring out how to play winning basketball.
Yeah, don't shoot, apparently.
Just don't shoot that much. Pass it out to Fred VanVleet to take that shot after taking a little bit too time with the shot clock winding down. And honestly, Jalen held on to it a little bit too long for it to get to that point.
Jalen Green, just pass it to Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, just like how we drew it up in the offseason.
For what it's worth, Green did have 41 points last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
I know, but I've been mostly unimpressed this year.
Yeah, that's fine. He has had his moments, though, so I'm not going to completely throw him under the bus. And let's talk about a man who I think deserves a lifetime extension from the Houston Rockets. And I know you don't want him, Joe. You don't want him because you're soft. You are a soft, weak man.
No.
And you don't like the Dylan Brooks show. This is Dylan Brooks creating havoc on a jump ball.
Another one. No, not this time. And then Brooks ties up Gilgeous Alexander. Here's Williams. Here come both teams. Here comes Rocket Security.
I love it.
All right. Before the election, we did a segment in which we conceded takes.
Yeah.
I made a mistake that day.
You did?
I didn't concede that take.
Yeah, you should.
I would like to formally apologize. My name is Joseph George. I apologize to Dylan Brooks fans out there. I love Dylan Brooks.
We are all witnesses.
We are Team Dylan Brooks.
This city appreciates hardworking blue-collar individuals like Azeez Alshayer and Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Okay?
They should take a picture together.
Really should.
Just put it up in the studio behind Paul.
They hate us because they ain't us.
We need an Astros version.
Put Jose Altuve in the middle just because they hate us because they ain't us.
Hector Neris.
Hector Neris would work too.
I was going to say Phil Maton, but he's not here anymore.
I love this. I love this moment from Dylan Brooks. Again, the call by Ackerman was great. It was about a minute later, but Ackerman made a reference to all the midfield battles with flags in college football over the weekend. Because it was a funny moment. There was a back and forth between the Rockets and Thunder, but it actually seemed to be a good natured. Like, these guys are just having fun playing basketball. And it's funny because it was a moment that involved Dylan Brooks. So you always wonder, did somebody get punched in the nuts?
Yeah. But Dylan Brooks, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the Canadian connection.
Yeah.
They're on the Canadian – they disappointed on the Canadian national team this summer.
Ooh, so too friendly here in this moment for Dylan Brooks because they're Canadians.
I think that's what made it not escalate into, oh, my God, this is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen on a basketball
I know, but,
court.
Like, it also – this is the one where, like, what's the next great rivalry in Houston sports? This one might get up there. It just feels like the Rockets and the Thunder are going to be – these young, chippy teams are going to be playing each other quite a bit in the playoffs, hopefully. Feels like there might something might build out of this.
Yeah.
It's fun in the moment, but like they all smiled and laughed. But like I wonder, and that's good. Like, we need it. Like I need a team to hate.
Yeah. I mean, the two teams do have a lot of like kind of already commonality just among the fan base. I mean, for all these, like, Alperen Şengün was still in Turkey for all these, but you have like the James Harden trade, you have the playoff series that they played back in 2013 with Pat Beverly going after Russell Westbrook's knee.
Yep.
Before a timeout. Maybe Patrick Beverly should be in the Azeez Alshayer picture too. And then you have the series in the bubble that they played. You have the Chris Paul trade, which was before the bubble, but you have the Chris Paul Russell Westbrook trade. Like, these teams just are always involved with each other, always and geographically pretty close. And yeah, and now their two rebuilds are kind of coming to fruition around the same time. I mean, the Thunder were the one seed last year, so they're a little bit ahead of the Rockets. But we saw last night that when they're both playing their game, they can hang with each other, or at least the Rockets can hang with the Thunder and don't need like some crazy stuff to happen. I mean, again, Fred VanVleet played awesome, but you are just going to need your best players to play well in a game against the number one seed. So that was nice to see that they can just hang with the class of the West.
Yeah, I mean, because even if Fred doesn't score all those points, like you think in theory Jalen picks some of that.
Yeah, Jalen or Şengün, someone's going to. I mean, it's what we see every night with this team. Is that it? A lot of times it's one of four different players, and you spin a wheel, and they're the best player on the court that night.
Yeah.
Sean Mapes behind the glass, Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, who had the best win of the weekend. It's the Rockets! The Rockets had it with that win over the Thunder last night. Second place, Texas over Texas A&M. Third place, Texans beating the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, Texas, I mean, they still don't have any ranked wins, so that we don't know if they're a good team or not.
That's a good point. Wow. Really?
I heard that in the lead up to this game a lot, and they still don't have a ranked win.
They have a ranked win, no.
Oh, did someone sneak in? Vandy sneak in?
Wasn't A&M was ranked?
They're not ranked.
Well, they were ranked.
Well, yeah.
That counts.
So is Michigan.
You're just rubbing it in.
No, I'm saying it counts.
Sean's just rubbing it in.
They were 20th when the game kicked off.
You can't tell me it doesn't count.
They're not in the AP poll anymore.
I know, but then what do I have?
I don't. I'd like less of my Aggie friends to text me FU because of what Sean's saying. So, Sean?
What?
No,
they texted FU because of what you said. I let you both cook for 10 minutes.
SMU? They're in the ACC championship game.
What about SMU?
They got a good win this weekend.
They did get a good win this weekend.
They beat the crap out of Cal.
ACC rivalry. Yeah. Unlike any other. A school in Dallas and a school in California. ACC.
ACC.
ACC. Up next, who had the most hyperbolic take on Aziz Alshire's hit of Trevor Lawrence? Some guy in Jacksonville is going after me right now. That's fun. Galan and George, stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. What did I tell you? I told you the Texans wouldn't cover. I told you. I tried to help you out. I tried to make you money. And you know, one of the ways that I could make you money is by telling you that this team just can't cover. They can't. Now they get a bye week, which we all needed. But guess what? You never need a bye week at mybookie.ag. You can bet on everything. Yeah, there's a live blackjack dealer, a live poker dealer, so you can play cards from your own home. But you've also got the ability to bet on a sports ball, like the football match tonight. The Broncos, 6-point favorites against Jameis Winston and the Cleveland Browns. Over-under of this game, 41.5. I'm going to slam the under. I don't know what the weather conditions are for this one. It would be fun to see Jameis Winston play in the snow once again. But Broncos defense is good. The Browns defense is good. Neither of these offenses are great, though Bo Nix has been having a fun rookie season. Hey, what are the odds of Bo Nix to win Rookie of the Year? You can bet on that and more at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The biggest scandal in NFL history. Aziz Alshire putting his right forearm slash elbow into the padded upper chest of Trevor Lawrence, which led to Trevor Lawrence, who was sliding, hitting his head horribly on the field in Jacksonville, fencing right afterwards, clearly concussed, had to leave the game. He's okay. Put a statement out there thanking people that were praying for his recovery. Aziz Alshire put a statement out there afterwards as well, saying it wasn't his intent to harm him in that moment. After the game was done, sideline reporter Laura Oakman for CBS was with CJ Stroud and asked him this question.
All right, C.J. Stroud, I talked to D'Amico Ryans at halftime, and we talked about everything that went on earlier, and he said, that does not represent us. I'm asking you this because you're wearing a C on your chest. How you feel about the Aziz hit, the fights, and just the optics of all of it today?
Yeah, first, you know, I always got to give glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this great opportunity playing in the NFL, have opportunity to play against the Jaguars team and come out to Jacksonville with safe travels, you know, so glory goes to God. But, yes. It was tough, man, you know, to see Trev go out like that. And, you know, Aziz, I don't think that's his intent. But, you know, it sucks to see a player ever go down. You know, I'm always trying to pray over the both teams whenever, you know, we take a field. You know, everybody wants to leave the field healthy. So, man, prayers go to Trev. And really, man, I hope Aziz, you know, learns from it. But, you know, I'm still rocking with my brother. I know he didn't mean it. You know, he didn't intend to do that. He just got to be more careful.
What do you think of that question?
Well, I think it's a fair question. I think the way she framed it's weird, but her intent is correct. He is the captain of the football team. He's the quarterback. So
right. So you have to stop Aziz Alshire from being a bad, bad boy.
I think just asking his perspective on it is okay. I think it makes more sense in the press conference for sure than coming from the sideline reporter. So it's strange. I think the way she asked it was not great. So I think it's fine to ask him about it. I wouldn't have made it my lead question since it's, you know, not in that moment. But it's okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the worst question I've ever heard, I'm sure.
Yeah. Sure. I think it was a leading question. I thought it was lame, given the stakes. Look, he didn't make the hit. If you're going to ask somebody about the hit, and I get it, Aziz Alshire has been ejected from the game. He's nowhere to be found. But what, Stroud's supposed to stop defenders from going 100% on the play?
Yeah, I wonder if it's because of what D'Amico said she felt like she had to ask CJ, because D'Amico said that's not what we're all about. And maybe she thought, like, to your point, a leading question of she thought basically CJ was going to say something similar. I don't know. It is strange. I didn't hear it in the moment because I don't watch that part of games. I think it's a waste of my time usually, and because it's all on social media after. So it is strange. I mean, he answered the question fine. I don't know what else he is supposed to say. And, like, he's not going to bury his teammate right there in the moment. You're not going to do that. You can, you know, he answered it perfectly. But it is a leading question, the way she framed it, for sure.
I feel like that, the immediate reaction by the CBS broadcaster and the color commentator, Moose Johnson, lent itself to the hullabaloo about what happened. Obviously, people in Houston are going to stick up to a degree for Aziz Alshire. I thought it was an undisciplined play for a guy who is a habitual line stepper, but I kind of like habitual line steppers. I like players who are always going 100%. I think in that situation, given that the quarterback was scrambling for perhaps a first down, I understand why a defender is not going to let him just slide in there for the first down. But could he have just done a two-hand touch instead of a forearm shove? Sure. The field hit Lawrence harder than Alshire did. I mean, that elbow was to shoulder pads. For anyone who has worn shoulder pads, there's a plastic plate on top of pads. The impact that Alshire made did not do anything. I understand he's in a defenseless position there, but he's a 6'6", 220-pound quarterback, and I'm not trying to blame him for what happened here. I'm just saying, what is safer for a quarterback in that situation? Sliding late or putting your perhaps injured shoulder into Alshire to try to get a few extra yards? I think that's where the NFL now finds itself, in a situation where they got to figure out if this is something that's sustainable in the NFL rules. If you got this many quarterbacks who can scramble, and you got quarterbacks who have taken advantage of this in the past, is sliding compatible?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an easy answer. And yep, again, as I said before, people in Jacksonville are going to be pissed about it. People in the larger NFL talking head community are going to be pissed off about it. And people here are going to defend Alshire. But I think there's more nuance to this than saying it was a dirty, disgusting, despicable act, the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you go back to the Kenny Pickett play is probably a good example because of the fake slide. And then the college football said that was, I believe, a penalty afterwards, that it's no longer allowed. That's part of the regulation for this, is that quarterbacks, I think that this is where it has to start, at least. Quarterbacks either have to do it or not do it. Like, it either has to be, if you're going to slide, you can never fake it again. Like, we can never see a quarterback, and there has to be a penalty for it. It has to be a 15-yard penalty. There has to be repercussions on the other side of the ball. If there's going to be for the player that hits the quarterback, well, if the quarterback does a fake slide or does a fake step out of bounds, then that should be a 15-yard penalty too, because you're not putting the defense in a compromised position to where they have to make these split-second calls. And yes, Aziz could have pulled up, I guess. I think it's fine. It's not the end of the world. But, like, you can't have it both ways is the point. And that's what the NFL wants. They want the quarterbacks to be protected. They want the defensive players to then know exactly what's happening in their opponent's mind and not be fooled by a trick play.
We're not telekinetic here. And I'm always going to side with defensive players. Some people brought up, hey, Tom Brady's the one who started it. You're right. He did. He gets hit low by Bernard Pollard, and that led to a moment in time where you can't sack a quarterback low. You can't land on a quarterback. You can't drill a quarterback in the same way that you can drill a other player on the field, because they always have that ability to slide, to give up on the play. And I hate it. I don't think that the most compensated player on the football field should be beholden to a different set of rules than everybody else out there. Wide receiver gets clobbered over the middle, no one cares. Special teams player gets injured, no one cares. But a quarterback has this happened to them, and everyone loses their minds and seems to believe that we all have the ability to just stop in our tracks and stop forward momentum. You cannot disobey the laws of physics. It's not effing possible. And Al Shaier is a big human being. He broke down. Lawrence was going low. What's Al Shaier supposed to do there when it happens that late? And Lawrence hitting his head on the field is a result of Al Shaier being perhaps a tad undisciplined there, because did it need to be the forearm? No. But please miss me with this. It was the worst thing we've ever seen. It simply wasn't. Was it bad? Sure. The fencing was awful. It's a violent sport. Do we have to clutch our pearls after every moment like this? If you're going to do that, you may as well stop watching, because there's less and less of it.
Yeah, I mean, but this is like when they, like when the concussion movie came out and everything that was happening, all the studies, and everyone was like, oh, you know, everyone's all upset and they're going to stop watching football, and no one ever stopped watching football. I think you said something like earlier in the show, Paul, that I think is I like want to revisit a little bit, is just get rid of the slide. Totally. Make them dive forward. Couple things. It's going to be way more obvious, the defensive player, right? If they're diving forward instead of sliding, that body language is going to be totally different. Also, it's better for the offense, because you're diving forward with the ball. I believe it was the Patriots game. Drake May slid across the first down line, and then they had to – I can't remember if it was that game. But the first time they called it was behind the line of scrimmage, because you don't even know where the ball goes. Like, where does the ball get spotted on a slide? Trevor Lawrence, part of the reason why this happens is because he has to move an extra – he has to go an extra two or three steps to get the first down, because he's sliding backwards essentially with where the ball's being placed. So make them dive forward. Get rid of the slide. It's way more obvious to the defensive players if they're diving versus sliding. So I think you start there. And you say, hey, you can't slide. Because why does no one else slide? Why does the wide receiver not slide? Why does the running back not slide? Mm-hmm. Like, no one else does it. So just get rid of it.
You're right. It's so crazy that this play is just accepted, too. It's just accepted. And how many times have we brought this up? Oh, this guy doesn't know how to slide properly. Isn't that so ridiculous that we talked about, oh, this guy needs to slide. He needs to learn how to slide. But he didn't need to slide at the college level. He was putting his shoulder into people. I get it. People are bigger now. I get it. He's getting paid money now. It's still the same game. It's the same sport. So now all of a sudden, don't go for every single yard you can get. And I'm of the belief you shouldn't be allowed to run out of bounds. You shouldn't be allowed to give up on a play. You shouldn't be allowed to slide. And I say that somewhat jokingly, but I mean, isn't your job to try to get every single yard you can?
Mm-hmm.
What if that was a third down and Lawrence is sliding there and Al Shaier stops him with his hands? Like, we're laughing at Lawrence for sliding there.
Justin Fields did it last week. Remember? He slid on a play where he was trying to get a first down and he didn't get it because of where he slid. Like, we see quarterbacks do this all the time. Like they don't know where to slide. So just get rid of the slide. I think that starts to solve the problem a little bit. And I think it's just more fair for the defense. Stop protecting the offense so much. Like, fine, Aziz, no big deal. It's not my money, so I guess it's unfair to me to say that. But give him a fine, make it hefty. But you got to change. You got to help these guys out a little bit. And you're not going to, if they're diving forward like that, you're not going to see the way Trevor Lawrence's head hit the ground in that fashion either. They're going to be more protected. Hell, CJ Stroud does a great job diving forward. He doesn't slide that often. He dives forward because he wants to get as much yardage as possible. So just change it that way. And then people need to just, he's not dead. Okay? Like, he's not dead.
If he dies, he dies.
You know, honestly, most of people like
Joe with the Russian logic.
Like, most people are probably like me who like,
he just pawned in Game of Life.
I'm only pissed because like I might miss the fantasy football playoffs because I got 0.24 points from Trevor Lawrence this week. Wow. Like, that's the only reason why I really care. Like,
jeez, Joe.
But you don't think that's most people's reactions right now? Is that like, oh, no. I had Trevor Lawrence in fantasy football, and now I lost.
No, you are literally the only one.
He already threw an interception, so my prize pick lineup was safe. I just needed Joe Mixon to get in the end.
So you two are the only ones.
Oh, I already profited.
You profited off of that?
Not off of that, but I had already profited when that happened. And so I was like, oh, okay. It's in Nico Collins' hand now.
Yeah, it's just, look, they need to get over it. It's people are overreacting to everything. You know what's going to happen is next weekend when the Texans are on a bye week, something similar is going to happen, and then the woke football community is going to have something else to be upset about.
Woke football community.
Yeah, because like it's honestly, I feel like half the people who get so upset about this, besides the Jags fans, and like they have every right to be upset. Like, he's their quarterback. Someone said this earlier on Twitch. We'd be totally talking about this differently with CJ Stroud. 100%. We are 100%.
I honestly wouldn't. I really hate how quarterbacks get babied. I was bitching and moaning about this during the game on Saturday, and all my friends, my Texas fan friends, got pissed at me because I thought the roughing the passer call on when they shoved Quinn Ewers in the back, I thought that was the softest BS I've ever seen. What are we talking about? He got shoved. Yeah. Oh, it's roughing Jesus. Like, they are so protected. I hate it. I hate it all. And sorry, cutting you off at the moment.
No, you're fine.
If it happened to Stroud, I would say the same thing. I hate that now the gut reaction of people watching football is not, all right, well, he's down. Oh, that was a good hit. It's, oh, he hit the guy that has the ball harder than he should. He's not supposed to hit that guy that hard. He's only supposed to hit the other guy.
100%.
Those guys. Come on. You can't hit that guy. The other guys. It's that part bothers me.
I agree. Paul, it's hypocritical. The whole thing. You know, the one.
Imagine getting up in the middle of the game and like, you're such a pussy if you're getting up in the middle of the game and you're like, hey, they hit my guy too hard. You're watching a violent sport. You're watching it's violence.
What's.
Oh, you hit my guy too hard. You used to watch Jacked Up 20 years ago and you loved it. Now you're like, he hit my guy. He hit my millionaire guy.
Honestly, it wouldn't even have been on Jacked Up. Like, that hit would not have been on Jacked Up.
No.
I don't think it would have. The fencing part.
Well, that part. That part would have been. No, that would have been on the
Come on, man.
Early YouTube video set to Here Comes the Boom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so good. That one video lives on forever.
And they stagger. They show him staggering to try to get to the sideline. It would have been on that. I don't think that meets the level for Tom Jackson. Tom Jackson had high standards for Jacked Up.
I don't even think it's the worst hit of the football game that happened.
What was the worst?
We all that have played football, one of the first things we are taught is to keep your eyes up and not put your head down because you are potentially going to hurt yourself. You're leading with the crown of the helmet. And what Henry To'o did to his own teammate Jimmy Ward was a nastier hit on a head than what happened to Trevor Lawrence. He dropped his head. He was looking at the ground.
And he pummeled
Jimmy Ward on accident.
Eject him from the game.
Like, it's a worse fundamental head-hunting play than what Aziz did. And you know what? Nothing happened.
No.
Because it was his own teammate that got hit. And it was a harder hit to the skull than what happened to Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, this team sneaky has a bunch of that. Henry To'o, he brings the boom.
Yeah, you know what?
Jalen Petrie.
Jalen Petrie, boom. Aziz Ashayer, boom.
D'Amico Ryan says, like, that's not what we're about. What we're about.
I kind of think it's
what guys,
you swarm.
Like, what is swarm about? Like,
well, it's actually about special work ethic and relentless mindset.
Relentless mindset. Laying the boom.
Wait. Relentless mindset.
Mm, sounds relentless.
Aziz Ashayer, what he did. He did not relent.
Boom!
Say what you want about Aziz Ashayer. He did not relent on a sliding quarterback. It was a relentless mindset.
Yeah.
To push him.
They swarmed.
Double. Hitting a guy in the shoulder pad and hitting him on the field. Hit Cookie! I mean, and I'm sorry, I sound callous. I'm happy Lawrence is okay. I think we all should be happy about that. You're allowed to be concerned in the moment, but I think the larger point that I'm frustrated with is that we are now conditioned to get mad when a guy gets hit in a football game because it might help our team out. And I as someone who has honor, I hate it. Now, not everyone has honor like me. I'm the most honorable man alive, except for when I played football and speared people. But that's a different time. It was 2006. Okay?
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
It was 2006.
Different world.
The rules were different back then.
Also, there were less HD cameras on the high school football field.
No one had an iPhone.
Because no one cared. Also, too, there's that. But there's a lot of things there. But I tend to side with defensive players, and I think we all collectively need to relax a little bit when it comes to getting mad about tackles. Okay? That play by Al-Shaair. Not the most disciplined one out there, but it is as if he pulled out a gun, last Boy Scout style, and capped Trevor Lawrence twice in the forehead. Okay? That did not happen. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Get high!
cut!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
We did get statements from both Trevor Lawrence and Azeez Al-Shaair today after Azeez Al-Shaair's hit of Trevor Lawrence in the second quarter knocked Lawrence out of the game and saw Al-Shaair get suspended from the game. First, let's read Trevor Lawrence's statement. He is alive. He is going back and forth with some folks on X. Thank you to everyone who has reached out / been praying for me. I'm home and feeling better. Means a lot. Thank you all. That is good to see.
Yes. He's not dead. Well, we can't confirm. We haven't seen him yet.
What is this? DeMar Hamlin 2.0? Is that a DeMar Hamlin joke?
Kind of.
Is that what you were going for
there? Trevor Lawrence clone?
Yeah. Well, we've seen her. We've seen the volleyball player that looks just like Trevor Lawrence on social media. She might be a better quarterback.
Interesting.
He stinks.
And it's a... Is it a she?
I think so. The volleyball player?
Yeah, there's been a lot of... Yeah. When he was in college, it was a popular Halloween costume for a blonde girl to go as Trevor Lawrence. Which is a tough doppelganger to have.
Gotcha, okay. I wasn't sure if you were talking about the San Jose State volleyball player or something.
Oh,
okay. Now, back to the statements written by both Trevor Lawrence and now Al-Shaair. With the caption, "All praise to Allah," Azeez Al-Shaair wrote the following: "I've always played the game as hard as I could, never with the intent to harm anyone, and anybody that knows me knows that. My goal is to hit you as hard as I can, then I pray you're still able to get up and play the next play." Well, I don't know if intent to harm anyone and hitting you as hard as I can... I don't know if you can say there's no intent if you're trying to hit somebody as hard as you can, but it's a violent game, Azeez. Azeez's statement continues. "And when the game is over, go home to your family unharmed because it's not personal. It's just competition. We both are trying to do the same thing, which is provide for our families. I genuinely didn't see him sliding until it was too late, and it all happens in the blink of an eye. To Trevor, I genuinely apologize to you for what ended up happening. Before the game, we spoke, and I told you how it was great to see you back out on the field and wished you well. I would never want to see any player hurt because of a hit I put on them, especially one that's deemed late or unnecessary. To the rest of his teammates, I can definitely understand you having his back and defending him in a situation like that. To the rest of the people who I've been called every single name in the book, from reporters with their hands ready for a story to find," and the statement seems to cut off for a moment, to I guess, find their clicks. "To the rest of his teammates, I can definitely understand you having his back and defending him in a situation like that. To the rest of the people who I've been called every name in the book." Okay, hang on a second. "From the reporters with their hands ready for a story to find their villain, to racist and Islamophobic fans and people, you don't know my heart nor my character, which I don't need to prove to any of you. God knows my intentions, and anyone who has ever been a teammate or friend of mine knows my heart." For those who don't know, Al-Shaair's cleats, they had Free Palestine on the side of them. And I think some people saw the cleats after what happened, specifically in the greater Jacksonville region, and went harder at Al-Shaair
for sure.
Seeing that chum in the water.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely looked at that as like a reason to attack him extra for this, which they're not correlated. One thing does not lead to the other, so it's a stupid thing. I do find his statement where he wants to hurt people but not hurt them is basically what he's saying. He wants to hit you as hard as he can, but not hurt. He wants to see you get up, though, from that hit. Look, you can't prove intent. Like that's also the part of this that is challenging, is even for the NFL in terms of like suspensions and things like that, you can't prove that he intended to hurt Trevor Lawrence in that way.
And I think that's what a dirty hit should be, is if it's done intentionally. And sometimes it is apparent. Like Kiko Alonso, who was a habitual line stepper himself, that hit that he had of Joe Flacco was dirty. But you can also point to Azeez Al-Shaair's track record and say, as a habitual line stepper, I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt because of his track record. And that's totally fine. Me, personally, I don't think it was malicious in terms of its intent. I think the guy just goes after everybody as hard as he can. Lawrence slid late.
I'm not blaming Lawrence for the hit that he suffered. I think it might have been a better idea for him to put the shoulder into the guy. He is 6'6", 220. But sometimes bleep plays out like this. I'm sure Aziz will be fined by the NFL for this, and we'll see if he ends up getting suspended.
I do think he will, to be honest, just because of the plays that they highlight, the social media uproar that it causes. I think the NFL often kind of follows the social media trends in that way. I think he'll be suspended for a game, at least.
Okay.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think he will.
We do have a call in the 10-minute drill. Jerry wants to weigh in on Aziz Alshire's hit. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, guys. It's Gary from the Heights. But I just want to say I disagree with you guys, right? And, I mean, I'm in Houston as it gets, man. Born and raised in Houston, went to Sharpstown Mall. But I just don't agree with this thing, like, just because they're on your team, you have to support them. Like, I can't stand Patrick Beverley. And I hate when people say, well, you love him when he plays for you. Like, Aziz is an out-of-control player. Like, I don't even think that yesterday, intent, non-intent, like, it doesn't really matter. It matters, like, what you do on the field. And if somebody had done that to C.J. Stroud, we'd all be up in arms. So I think it's appropriate to be up in arms against Aziz. Like, this is not his first time showing us that he's an out-of-control player. Like, even the Caleb Williams thing, like, it wasn't penalized. I get it. It was borderline. He just hit a running back 2 yards out of bounds. Like, and like, if you're just saying you couldn't move, do you tackle people with both of your forearms? No, like, you don't. So I can see if he was going in to, like, wrap up and then he accidentally hit him. The dude forearm shivered the dude into the ground. I don't think it's the end of the world. He shouldn't go to jail. But you can't tell me it's not a dirty play when this dude's shown himself to be a dirty player, or at the very least a reckless player. And I don't like that. I mean, I'm a Texans fan.
But
I don't,
Jerry,
like that.
This,
you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying here, but I think you said both things here. I think I agree with you in that it was an undisciplined play, an out-of-control play, especially given the stakes and the situation. But I don't think that that necessarily means that the play was dirty. And again, that's a very subjective word that we're talking about here. But out of control, yeah, I'll allow it. It's second down. It's not a playoff game. It's not the fourth quarter. It's not the red zone. He didn't need to do that, for sure. But I also think it's just kind of consistent with who he is as a player. I saw Mike Meltzer tweet this out. Like, he's basically Vontaze Burfict light. And there have been moments before. I don't know if it was in San Francisco where perhaps this happened in addition to that moment where he put his hand on Tom Brady's neck while he was going after him. I don't think that was that big of a deal. He wasn't trying to strangle him. But whatever. I'm always going to side with defensive players. Even if it happened against C.J. Stroud. I'm not going to white knight for C.J. Stroud there. I think quarterbacks are handsomely compensated for their services. A job that's very difficult for sure. A job that's very violent for sure. But they got every single rule that is looking out for them, okay? And defensive players are expected to basically stop at their tracks, which could potentially lead to a guy pulling a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes or a Kenny Pickett on him.
Yeah, I mean, Gary, like, I think what you're saying, like, I reckless for sure, but you bring up Caleb Williams, well, then I'm the perfect person to talk to because I have no problem with that hit. Watch the Lions game on Thanksgiving.
Get out of bounds with more urgency.
Look, what did Caleb Williams do on Thursday? He stopped and, like, looked like he was going to do a back juke, and he got hit in the leg, and then he acted like a baby after the game. And I love Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be incredible. But he acted like a baby after the game, so he didn't appreciate the hit. Well, then run out of bounds, dude. So Caleb, while he's running out of bounds, he's in play. Like, I don't think that play should be used here as an example of what Aziz is doing. He's a reckless player for sure. And if I was D'Amico Ryans, what I'd be telling him is, while I want you to play great, you are going to cost your team at some point if you continue to play this recklessly. That, I think, is very true. He has to find the balance of being aggressive and reckless, and he's on the reckless side of it right now. That's for sure.
Bruce has a thought on the Aziz Alshire hit as well. Bruce, what's up? Bruce.
Hello?
What's up, dude?
Hey. I'm listening to you guys talk about this hit, and it sounded to me like y'all downplaying it a little bit. But within the rules of the game, the guy had no business hitting a dude like that. And I'm an old school football fan, but the rules are the rules. And he hit him. Looked to me deliberately hit him when he could have done a lot of things. He could have flew over him for one thing if he wanted to, and not even hit him at all. But when the quarterback gives himself up, you can't hit him. That's the rule.
He shouldn't have led with the forearm. He could have tapped him, and I think given the situation, it wasn't necessary. I think, Bruce, what we're trying to say here is this is not as dirty as it's being made out to be. I just don't think it was. I think it was an undisciplined, out-of-control play. I think as Gary in the Heights said in the last call, I think it's more along those lines. And I'm going to side with defensive players more often than not. Sure, it's a rule. He gave up on the play. We're allowed to say that we don't like rules. I don't like that rule. I don't like that quarterbacks have kind of carte blanche, and yet running backs and wide receivers, when they have a football in their hands, don't. Tight ends don't either.
It's an illegal hit. He got penalized for it. Those are the rules. You're right, Bruce. He broke the rules.
Yeah, we're not saying it was a legal play or anything.
I think this whole thing is like people just having two different conversations about it. Where it is like this is a dirty hit that, oh my God, Aziz Al-Shaair is a headhunter out there. It's like, no, it's a penalty. Like, guys get hit sliding all the time. Like, that happens when a quarterback slides at least once a game, or maybe not once a game, but over a team season, it probably happens like 10 times a year where there's a slide and your quarterback gets hit late, and that's it. That's all that happens. So, I mean, Aziz plays with, like, he's a guy who plays with an edge, but, like, I don't think this was, like, some serious deal where you have, again, just to bring it up, you have John McClain saying it's the worst hit he's seen in 48 years of covering football. Like, that we are having two different conversations.
Yes.
If you're saying that is the worst hit you've seen in 48 years.
Yeah.
Because no one here will agree with that. I guarantee you no one will agree with that.
I think mostly this is, it's the overreaction to it. Like, it's people are, they're acting like he committed murder. Like Daryl Moose Johnson, like the way he's talking about this, saying it's the most disrespectful thing he's ever seen in his life. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're in a locker room with Charles Haley.
Like,
what are we talking about?
Yeah,
you played against Lawrence Taylor.
We've seen people bite ears off in sports. Like, we talk about the most disrespectful thing you've ever seen.
These guys have
life.
Helmets and chest plates.
Yeah, like it's an illegal hit. It is probably like it leans towards dirty. But, like, the reaction to it is so incredibly over the top.
That's,
like,
yeah.
He's fine.
The other thing with, like, dirty, like, people just have different definitions for what dirty is. Like, dirty, I assume, like, dirty, there's some intention of malice with dirty. Like, you're trying to injure someone. But other people, or at least judging from what I see online and what we've had people, like, text or call in about, like, they just think dirty just means, like, you committed a foul. That's a dirty play if you commit a foul. Like, that's, to me, that's not what the word dirty means. Where it's like, oh, that's a dirty hit. Where it's like, there's a lot of dirty hits that get or a lot of penalties that get, like, late hits or roughing the passers that are not dirty hits. They're just penalties. And in my mind, the Aziz Al-Shaair thing is more of a penalty than a dirty hit.
More people want to weigh in on this. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Was Aziz Al-Shaair's hit of Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence yesterday in a 23-20 Texans win, 8-5 going into the bye week, baby, a dirty hit? Stick around.
Let's talk about LaBerge in Lake Charles, the best place to go and bet on your Texas teams when you want to leave Texas. And look, there's no Texans game this weekend. Doesn't mean there's not plenty of great action. It's championship weekend in college football, so you'll be able to watch all those games going on. I cannot imagine what the environment's going to be like on December 21st when there's three college football games in a row, or on New Year's Eve when it's the same thing. It's going to be an absolutely incredible environment. You got the 24-foot video wall, great food from Chef Lyle. You got the 19 betting kiosk, and you can even use your phone with the ESPN Bet app as well. Can't recommend it enough. It's an awesome place to go. When you want to leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.